Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Whether you're looking to start a career with no student loans or change careers to land one of the happiest jobs in the world, yep, that's construction, Build Mississippi can help. Visit buildmississippi.com to learn why a career in the trades deserves another look. buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Well, I hope you like getting up early in the morning to watch your favorite football team. Welcome in, everybody, to this edition of the Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you are here on not really schedule release day. It is scheduled kickoff time release day, although it's not exactly kickoff times. It's kickoff window release day. Look, it's the middle of June. We're just going to milk all the content for what it's worth, but I'm glad you guys are here. That is what we're talking about today, though. We have gotten the full complement of kickoff windows, which is basically kickoff times, and I'll explain all that here in a second for those of you that are not aware how they're doing this moving forward, but we got them all, and there are some unhappy Ole Miss fans out there with the sheer volume of the word early on this thing. The early window is getting a lot of work for Ole Miss this year, so we will talk about that and more again on this edition of the Rebel Report. I'm glad you guys are here. Follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. If you're listening to this in podcast form, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And for those of you that are here, don't forget to like the video and subscribe if you have not already. And for those of you that are watching on YouTube, this does get uploaded in podcast form. Every single edition gets uploaded in podcast form wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. This edition and all editions of the Rebel Report are presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries are unavoidable in life. We hope it doesn't happen to you, but sometimes the unfortunate does happen, and we want you to be represented by the best. And the best is DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. Personal injury, small business, or contract disputes, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm will give you the best legal options, and he will actually care about you. You are not just dollar signs to him. You are a person, and he will handle that with care. Saltillo, Mississippi is where he's located. 662-397-9799. That's the phone number, 662-397-9799. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm for all of your personal injury, small business, or contract disputes. Don't delay. Call DJ today, 662-397-9799. So let's start here. And it's like two disclaimers, basically, for why they're doing this and why the windows look the way that they are. So they released windows and not times today. And it's a very simple reason, although I guess based on some of the reaction, we also got some text into the radio show about this. I guess a lot of people are kind of unaware of what is happening. Now, as I told you guys before, they're staggering kickoff times. So we talked about that before. And then we also learned last week or 2 weeks ago that the latest an SEC-controlled game would kick off is 7 o'clock Central. So we knew all that already. But why they are and why they announced kickoff windows today and not the actual times is because they haven't assigned a network to these games yet, because they don't have to worry about a third party or a second party, really. It is all now under Disney, ESPN, ABC's umbrella. So they can, one, release these kickoff times and windows early because it's all the same and they're not stepping on anybody's toes. But also, since they are under everybody's umbrella, they can stagger kickoff times. They're not all going to start at 11 and 2:30 and five. It's they can stagger them how they want to, and so that's why they're choosing to release windows to help teams and fans and stuff kind of prepare for this. I think this is a great convenience for you, the fan, having an idea of, you know, what your travel plans can be or what game you can make if you can only make one a year, things like that. Tent setup companies and those kind of things. It's very helpful. But you're not going to have the early games, the 11 a.m. games, all kick off at 11 a.m. It will be network and game dependent. And until they assign a network, which they're not going to do until later, they're not going to pigeonhole themselves into a specific kickoff time. So if you see early, and we'll get to Ole Miss's schedule in a second, if you see, say, early for the Arkansas game, that is network dependent on if it kicks off at 11 or 11:45 or maybe even noon. They're going to stagger the starts of these games. So it's truly wall-to-wall SEC football from 11 a.m. until 10:30 p.m. Central. That's their goal here, is to have no time where there's not an SEC game on. So that's why it's windows instead of times. And the windows, you guys probably know this already. The early is 11 a.m. This is all Central. 11 a.m. to noon. The afternoon is 2:30 to 3:30. And the night is 5 to 7. And so those are your windows. And yes, I am late again, I know. But those are your windows. And now we have a full schedule of windows, approximate kickoff times, for Ole Miss and everybody in the SEC. And we did get two more official kickoff times. So we got the Florida game official and the Kentucky game official. All of the others have a window attached to them, or we've discussed them already. We'll go through the entire schedule here in just a second. But again, that is why it's like this, is because they're going to staggered start these games, because they don't have to worry about CBS and stuff like that. They're all under the same umbrella, which I really like. So again, the early window is 11 to noon Central. The afternoon window is 2:30 to 3:30. And the night window is 5 to 7. And then flex are either afternoon or night windows that they will decide on a later date. So now that that is out of the way, let's get into the games a little bit and then some of my reaction. And then, of course, we are going to get to your reaction. That is kind of the whole point of this, to get you guys involved. So we already knew Furman was 6 o'clock on SEC Network /ESPN+. We knew Middle Tennessee. God bless those of you on September 7th at 3:15 in the afternoon that are in the stadium that day. But the Middle Tennessee State game will kick off on the SEC Network at 3:15 inside of a sauna of Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. We also know that Wake Forest will kick off on the CW at 5:30, right after a Dawson's Creek rerun. We now know that the Georgia Southern game for Ole Miss, that's another one as well, I don't think we knew this one, will be 6:45 on the SEC Network. So that's a good break for those of you that want to go see your team play but don't want to bake in the sun if you don't have to, especially when it's going to be a game that should not be a difficult one. 6:45 on the SEC Network for Ole Miss and Georgia Southern. And here is where it already begins. Ole Miss Kentucky on either ABC or ESPN, kicking off at 11 a.m. The game in Columbia, South Carolina is a flex game, so it'll either be 2:30 to 3:30 or 5 to 7. LSU, you guys knew this. It's a night game, so it'll kick off between 5 and 7. You can go ahead and count on the later version of that. So the LSU game will be at night, no surprise to anybody. This one makes no sense to me. We'll come back to this one. The Oklahoma game will be an early kickoff inside of Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. The slate of games for that one, for that weekend, makes no sense for this to be at 11 a.m. Really makes no sense, but anyway. Arkansas, the Arkansas game will be early as well. The Georgia game will be flex, so either 2:30 or a night window. The only other competition that weekend is the Alabama-LSU game, so there's a chance that Ole Miss and Georgia are 230, where that game is the night game. It just kind of depends on records. I think LSU is going to have at least two losses going into that game, and I think Alabama will also have a couple of losses going into that game. So they're going to wait on that one, understandably so, but I expect that one to be at night, quite frankly. The Florida game, it will be at 11 o'clock on ABC or ESPN. And then, as you guys know already, the Egg Bowl, Black Friday, 2:30 on ABC. So there's some things to like about this schedule, and there's some things not to like. Let's start with the things to like about this schedule. First of all, I do think that the non-conference, it's as good as you could hope it would be. Ole Miss got to control the kickoff, obviously, of the streaming game. Middle Tennessee, that sucks. It really does. But Wake Forest on the CW, I just made a joke about the CW. You've got it. It'll be very easy for you to watch. 5:30 is a nice kickoff time. And then getting the fourth non-conference game to be at night, that's good. That works out. I like that about Ole Miss's schedule. I also like the fact that the three non-LSU road games could all be kicking off when the sun comes up. Now, South Carolina could possibly be at night. You don't want that game to be at night. That place is it's rowdy as hell, and they're coming off of a bye week. Now, I think there's a chance they have two losses already going into that game to South Carolina, but still, you would much rather 2:30 than the night window for that one. But getting Fayetteville at 11 o'clock or in the 11 to noon window and getting Gainesville at 11 for sure is a nice scheduling break for Ole Miss. I really like that. Those are not going to be particularly good teams, so you could get possibly a team that is already not really all that motivated by this point of the season anyway. Definitely not on paper going to be great teams, but still. So you could have a trap game possibly with Florida being right before the Egg Bowl and with Arkansas being sandwiched in between Oklahoma and Georgia. Getting those games in what will likely be a very sleepy environment, I think, is a good thing for Ole Miss. Those are difficult places to play at night. They've been houses of horrors for Ole Miss in the past. And that the scheduling break that they got leads to at least what you think should be some pretty sleepy environments. So I do like that on Ole Miss's schedule. I do like that. You guys already know I really like the Egg Bowl change as well. What I don't like is the early kickoffs for Kentucky and for Oklahoma. Now, on the Kentucky side, frankly, I get it. I mean, look at the other games that are going on this weekend. You've got Georgia, Alabama. Now, I understand that Arkansas just said they're not going to be particularly good, but Arkansas, A&M that day. Auburn, who should be undefeated, is hosting Oklahoma that day. I think this is Texas's first SEC game. It is. Texas's first game as an SEC member all will be that day. Kentucky's going to be unranked. They are likely going to have at least one loss going into that game because they play Georgia. So an unranked Kentucky team going into Oxford, that is not going to be a game in which you should expect it to be played at night, I don't think. That was a prime recipe for an 11 a.m. game the second that schedule came out. You probably should have expected that one to be at 11 a.m. there in Oxford. And, you know, that's what happens. If it was Tennessee, it would be a different story. But I think you would rather play Kentucky at 11 a.m. than Tennessee at 6. I think Kentucky is just a more winnable game in that spot. But I don't like that at all. But I understand that one. That one makes sense. I hate 11 a.m. kickoffs. I think that there is the magic of college football is the build, is getting to the tailgate when it's still morning time and you're switching from coffee to a screwdriver and you put College Game Day on at the tent. And there's that slow build where the conversations are kind of quiet and low key and everybody's kind of sitting down until, you know, you get a drink or two in you and everybody's standing up and you got a game on and that game's exciting. And then the crescendo into when the game actually starts is one of the great things and the most fun things about being a fan of college football is the build into the kickoff. And at 11 a.m., you don't have that phenomenon. Now, the post game, if you win, is pretty awesome. You go back to the tailgate, you go to the bar, you put a game on, you sit there and shoot the shit with your friends about how great the game that your team played was. And so there's some positives to it too, but it's not the same. 11 a.m. kickoffs suck for the environment. It's just not as good. In fairness, though, you guys have done a pretty phenomenal job with early kickoffs in the Kiffin era. Hasn't always been this way at Ole Miss, but the atmosphere with Texas A&M last year was great. Somebody in the chat already mentioned Kentucky 2022. That was really damn good, honestly. You guys have done a really good job of getting it. Auburn, although that wasn't a good Auburn team, and Brian Harsin was getting fired and all that, still, you guys have done a really good job of being in the stadium on time for the most part. 11 a.m. is hard. The logistics make that hard, but the stadiums have been full. The atmospheres have been really, really good. You guys have done a really nice job at making 11 a.m. not sleepy the way you see around college football, because it's sleepy most places. It hasn't been at Ole Miss over the last couple of years, and that's to your credit, but still sucks. Oklahoma makes no sense to me. The Oklahoma game being already confirmed at 11 o'clock makes absolutely no sense to me. That weekend, look, Alabama, Missouri, that should be and will be a really good game. But absent that, it's Alabama, Missouri, it's Arkansas, Mississippi State, two teams that would be lucky to make a bowl game. Auburn, Kentucky, that moves the needle, not at all. And LSU, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt, Texas. That's your slate that weekend. Choosing Oklahoma, Ole Miss, which, by the way, go ahead and mark this down. It'll be on ABC. I guarantee that. I don't know that, but I'll put my car down that game's going to be on ABC. Ole Miss, Oklahoma. That one makes no sense to me, and that's really disappointing too. On top of it all, for those of you that either A, live in town or whatever, it'll still be a huge weekend. The tailgating scene will still be great and all that, but Oklahoma is going to bring a lot of people. That's going to be a really high-profile game. I mean, there's a chance, an off chance, but there's a chance that you might be looking at game day that weekend, depending on what Alabama and Missouri are at that point. You know, there's a lot of things that weekend could have been, and the 11 a.m. kickoff doesn't ruin it, but it doesn't make sense when you look at the other games on this slate. Arkansas State, Auburn, Kentucky, Texas, Vanderbilt, A&M, LSU are not as high profile as that game. Makes no sense for that game to be at 11 o'clock. Hate that. Cannot possibly stand that. So there's a real chance that you're looking at only one conference game for Ole Miss being at night. However, one of them is a special date with the Egg Bowl on Black Friday. So even though that game's not at night, that's a very special time slot for that game, and the second half will be at night anyway. And even if Georgia kicks off at 2:30, that's a week after the time changes. The second half of that game will also be at night. So all the light shows and all that stuff that they do that have made Vaught-Hemingway actually, you know, a really good environment can still be used there. And Kentucky's just, it's not a needle mover. So that one's okay. I like the balance. I think that there's give and take. I would trade having Florida and Arkansas and possibly South Carolina during the day or in the morning for having to play Kentucky in the morning at home, for example. I know they don't offer it like that, but I would take that deal. It seems pretty balanced, and you guys have done a really, really nice job of making 11 a.m. something special, whereas, again, when you look around the country, it's not really the case, frankly. You guys have done a nice job, a really nice job, and we'll get to all your opinions on it, I'm sure, but I think it's pretty balanced. So, is that the right word? Pretty balanced. The Oklahoma game doesn't make sense. That one doesn't make sense. But otherwise, it's totally fine, and you guys will make the best of it, I'm sure. The podcast is brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely going to be one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Their online banking platform is outstanding. It's a one-stop shop. You don't need multiple apps to do whatever it is you want to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. The podcast is also brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. If you need anything office technology and you are located in Mississippi, check them out. Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. Tell them I sent you. You got a complimentary office technology assessment. Yes, I know I was a little bit late. I was talking to my sister, who I don't get to talk with near enough. I'm late again. I know. It was 5 minutes, okay? It was 5 minutes. You guys are killing me. But anyway. Speaking of early games, 2014 Alabama, you almost died in the band stampede to make it to the Grove stage. Happy to announce you survived and not a single beer in the cooler was wasted. That was a surreal day. Any news in the portal in baseball? No news yet. Chase Parham reported that they've got some visitors coming this weekend. He did put it behind a paywall, so I don't think it would be right for me to like it. I haven't seen it publicly talked about anywhere. So if they commit or if that becomes a more open thing, we will talk about that here for sure. But yes, there are some visitors coming in this weekend. Chase reported on who they were. So if they do commit or that becomes more public, we will talk about them. But they're working. They're working the portal. They've got some – they're in on seemingly a good bit of guys. They understand the work that has to be done. You're calling DJ Gregory tomorrow to talk about the false advertisement for live stream start times. Caleb Cunningham to Ole Miss. Doesn't make sense for him to go to Mississippi State. State fans are going to take this out of context. Right now it does not, because Jeff Lebby hasn't proven anything yet. Mississippi State hasn't put a wide receiver in the NFL in a very, 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 very long time. So right now it doesn't. Now look, if the offense is super explosive this year and you know they have a really good offensive season, then that changes things for sure. But right now, no. Network dependent also includes allowing our games to fit in between reruns of Dawson's Creek. That's all an ACC thing. That is all an ACC thing. Kentucky at 11 a.m. gives PTSD from 2022 so much sunburn. Yeah, although Kentucky's solid and they always are, I don't think this Kentucky team is going to walk into Oxford the same way that Kentucky team did. What a game that was. I mean, clutch defense of all things that day, but that was a fun one to watch. 11 a.m. kickoffs are the spawn of Satan himself. Morning kickoffs are the worst. LSU gets basically all night games because reasons. Yeah, I mean, that's a network deal. I hesitate to go down this road. Greg Sankey is not why Ole Miss has 11 a.m. kickoffs. It's not Greg Sankey. It's not the league office. It's the television networks. And I know there are people that think that they are like one and the same. But ABC is not coming to the SEC office and saying, hey, I want Ole Miss Oklahoma to be at night. And Greg Sankey's responding by saying, no, I hate Ole Miss. And they're going to kick off at 11 because I said so. Now, do I think LSU gets special treatment with their night games? Yes. And do I think it's BS? Yes, I do. LSU does get special treatment. They do. But they also do numbers. They do. The networks, for whatever reason, really, really like LSU and give them special treatment. But Greg Sankey is not getting handed a schedule from ABC and going, LSU is going to kick off here and Ole Miss is going to kick off here because I don't like Ole Miss and screw Ole Miss and Alabama is going to kick off here. That's not going on here. It's the network's decision. The television says jump. Everybody else says how high. This is what television wants. This is what television wants. That Oklahoma weekend, again, makes no sense. I know that they have placed new emphasis on early kickoffs. Frankly, there's a reason that they're doing away with the super late night games. It's not for player safety because they don't do well. Games that kick off close to 9 o'clock, 8:30 Central Time, don't rate well. They lose audience. That's why they're not kicking that late anymore. The Big Ten can do that. The Big 12 can do that. The SEC doesn't have to do that. It would make no sense for them to do that because they don't rate particularly well. It's all a television decision. I think Ole Miss does a really good job with – you guys do a really good job with fans at 11 a.m., but Ole Miss also gets watched well at 11 a.m. But it's – guys, despite Ole Miss improving and the brand growing and being very, very strong, and it's very, very strong, the viewership brand power of Texas, Alabama, LSU, Georgia is stronger – still at the moment. That's what it is. Craig Sankey is not conspiring against Ole Miss for morning kickoffs. That's not what's happening here. The television networks are conspiring for 11 a.m. kickoffs for Ole Miss. That's what's happening here. Any decent game featuring Texas or Oklahoma in their first year should at least be the afternoon game. South Carolina is flex, so it will probably be day. That will be a win, but having one of your marquee teams playing half of their conference games kicking off before noon is abhorrent. Yeah, I'm with you. But here's the thing. You want to kick off in Gainesville at 11. You want to kick off in Fayetteville at 11. I promise you do. You do. It makes it easier. It makes it easier for Florida fans to say, God, never mind. And by the way, the SEC teams on the East Coast, those people have the audacity to earmuffs. They have the audacity to bitch about noon kickoffs over there. I swear they do. That they complain about noon kickoffs. Would you not love that extra hour here? How different would that be? Just that one extra hour. They complain about that. Makes no sense. Day games. Finally, you can justify moving to the shade. Sankey might say, I hate Ole Miss if he's speaking on behalf of the SEC referee union. Can we disregard the narrative that recent success for Ole Miss is unsustainable? Past 3 years, Ole Miss has been ranked inside the top 10 late in the season. Exactly. And you're nailing it with your follow-up. Seems like old school takes that aren't adopted to this era of recruiting and coaching. That's exactly what it is. Landon, I've noticed this nationally. There is a common misconception about Ole Miss and financial viability because people look at the economics of the state of Mississippi and think that that is parallel to the economics of Ole Miss and its fan and alumni and donor base. That is a big part of it. You look at the state of Mississippi, and we don't have a big city. It's a rural state, and it's a low populated state. And people look at that and think, well, Mississippi is not, you know, financially just exploding. So therefore, there's no way that Ole Miss can afford to keep up with everybody else. And, you know, it's a very very poor way of looking at it. It's an extremely large, it's a big Southern school with a fan base that, and a student body that comes from all over the South. They have a medical school, a law school, a top accounting school, a big time. I mean, they have wealthy alumni that can afford clearly to do things that need to be done to recruit in this era. They clearly have displayed that. And on top of it all, when people say that, like, this is a one-off, like, now or never for Ole Miss, it makes no sense. Last year's team would have made the playoff. Lane Kiffin's had two teams that would have made the playoff. Hugh Freeze had teams that would have made the playoff. Houston Nutt had teams that would have made the playoff. Ole Miss has only gotten in Ole Miss's way. They have proven that they can win at the make the 12-team playoff with relative consistency over multiple coaches. This can be done. Lane Kiffin went to a Sugar Bowl, lost a bunch of players from that team. 2 years later, went to the Peach Bowl. Those are now playoff games. After winning the Peach Bowl, he has this roster going into 2024. this is sustainable. This is what Ole Miss is now. Do they have the resources of a Georgia or an Ohio State? Of course not. They don't have that. But if you think that Ole Miss winning 10 games is somehow like this impossible thing where everything has to go perfectly for it to happen, can I show you 2023? Can I show you 2021? Can I show you 2015? Can I show you 2014? Can I show you 2009? Like, those teams all would have made the playoff. They all made access bowls. It's a very goofy line of thinking, but it's an antiquated line of thinking done by people that have not recalibrated their positions to this new era where things are totally different. You still have people that think Nebraska's a blue blood, you know, and they're just not. It's all about who you are right now today. Times have changed. The landscape has changed. And people haven't caught up to that. Since they have the opportunity in so many potential morning games, the Grove should feature Emeril and John Currents offering a brunch tent free to anybody that shows up early. Yeah, Emeril's got a kid that goes to Ole Miss now, right? It's kind of cool. Lane has a top 15 high school recruiting class for 2025 right now. Times, they are a-changing, which is good for ninth in the SEC, by the way. "1982 Boomer Sooner," says Michael. "I'm headed to Ole Miss as an Oklahoma alum and super fan." That's awesome, man. I have heard that a lot of you guys are going to be making the trip to Oxford. And, man, honestly, I'm just excited to see it. I'm really looking forward to – you're going to love this as an Oklahoma fan. I am looking forward to watching Texas lose in the SEC. I am looking forward to Oklahoma's inclusion in the SEC. I'm not going to get joy out of watching Oklahoma lose the same way I will watching Texas lose. So there you go. You enjoy that one. But yeah, man, if you stick around, reach out when it gets closer to game time, and myself and the people here in the chat will help guide you when it comes to, you know, things to do and whatnot. Hope you have found a place in town to stay. But yeah, if you need any recs or whatever, please, when it gets closer to game time, please do not hesitate to ask. "This team isn't now or never push the chips in, but is designed to make a push into the Natty conversation this season. That's a completely different narrative." Very much so. But a lot of teams are this way. Right? I mean, Michigan was that way last year. Michigan had a push your chips in the table that this team needs to win kind of season, because after this, that they are now resetting. Their roster's resetting, and now Jim Harbaugh left. Michigan's not going to make the they could make the playoff. I don't think they're going to. Their schedule's pretty tough, man. Here, I'll pull it up for you. This is losing basically everybody and losing Harbaugh and his staff. And this is their schedule. They open with Fresno State, who Mikey Keene plays quarterback for Fresno State, by the way. It's Fresno State, Texas, Arkansas State, USC, Minnesota. Yeah, they have five straight home games to open the season. But then they're at Washington, at Illinois, Michigan State, Oregon, at Indiana, Northwestern, at Ohio State. I mean, there's a chance they're losing Texas, USC, Washington, Oregon, and Ohio State. Hell, that game at Indiana is not going to be a cakewalk. So Michigan is going through that right now. Freaking Michigan's going through that, where it's, you know, there's a reset after a big year. So oh, you're staying in Memphis? That's okay. That's okay. But make sure you you spend as much time in town as you can, especially now with the early kickoff. It kind of screws the Grove thing. Now, it'll still be packed and set up and all that, but won't be as the same. Emeril and Chuck Liddell both have kids enrolled. So random. I love it. That's a very Ole Miss thing. Just random, like, oh, Emeril's got a kid at Ole Miss. Anyway, this team could make a push for the Natty, which may not be true every year, but in your opinion, we should definitely be in the playoff conversation most, if not every year. I would say every other year. I mean, generally speaking, now there might be back-to-back years where a roster is full or whatever, but if in 10 years they are making or right on the playoff bubble in five of those 10 years, I think that is a very much reasonable, if not conservative, expectation. Appreciate the kind words, Austin. Quick question, you say, though, to follow that up. Why do so many media members advocate for earlier kickoffs when the night games always have more energy? Because when the game ends is when the work begins. It bothers some more than others. It doesn't bother me because I don't have to write a column and a game story and go to the press conference and upload the press conference online and then do post-game audio stuff. Like, if a game ends, let's say a game ends at 8, there's a chance that some of these guys are not leaving the stadium until 11 because of how much work goes into the post-game coverage. That's where it comes from. It's when the game kicks off at 11, it ends at 2:30, 3 o'clock, they get home by 5:30, they can actually have a nice Saturday. That's where that comes from, is because the post-game work, it's a lot. When the game ends, the fans go party, right? Or just go drive home in misery. But that's when their work truly begins. So they have to get to the stadium 2 hours early, which, nobody's feeling sorry for them for getting a free ticket to a football game in a climate-controlled press box. But it's a long day. So that's where that comes from. It's the people that are truly working the games. It's a long day. Speaking of Texas and Oklahoma, what are the next two teams to join the league, in my opinion? NC State and Virginia. But I think it'll be more than just two. It'll be more than just two. Texas, they're just a bunch of arrogant a-holes. Oh, man. I do think that, Texas and Oklahoma have both had a lot of success recently. Look, Texas, played for a national championship not too terribly long ago. Sark seems to have them kind of back on track. Oklahoma has made the playoff and made the playoff a lot under Lincoln Riley. So they're good programs. They get really good players. They put players in the NFL. I do think that there will be a bit of a wake-up call for both when it comes to how difficult the league is week in and week out. I mean, Mississippi State was a bad team last year. They were a bad team last year. But they still had guys on that defense that are going to play at the next level. They had an All-American linebacker next to a guy that's with the Jets right now, whose name is Jet. Jet plays for the Jets. Can you believe that? That Mississippi State team still had a bunch of dudes on that defense in ways that, your Iowa States and Kansas of the past, although they're getting better, the depth of those teams in the Big 12 are not the same of that in the SEC. Bad SEC teams, sans Vanderbilt, have more talent than bad Big 12 teams. And so you're not just going to waltz into Starkville and come out with a win. You got the cowbells ringing and they get players. They do, even though, they don't. This year's defense is a totally different story, but even though Mississippi State hasn't, they haven't been to an Access Bowl since they played Georgia Tech in 2014, but they have good players on that defense every year. And they have not been on top of the SEC. South Carolina has been a bad team recently, but a road game at Williams-Brice Stadium is brutal. That's a really tough place to play. And I think that depth is going to be something that will take a little bit of getting used to for the two of them. Give me 230 kickoffs all year and you'll be fine. You love the light shows and the drones and all that, but that's just for recruits. I do think 230 is the perfect kickoff time. Gives you enough time to have that build up where that slow build at the tailgate to a rowdy atmosphere, and you're also not getting home at 2 o'clock in the morning. I think it's a perfect kickoff time. You want UNC? I want UNC too. I think UNC and NC State might, but I don't know what they're going to do. It all depends on TV, of course. And I mean, ESPN just spent a couple billion dollars on the NBA, and the NBA is not the moneymaker it used to be. And there's a lot going on. If they get more money, conference expansion is going to happen again, though, because they need more money since everybody had to slash their budgets. Maybe even Florida State joining. My question for Florida State and Clemson would be, what do you bring that the SEC already does not have? They're already in the state of Florida. They're already in the state of South Carolina. What do you bring that they don't already have? You don't bring great basketball. They would be nice additions in baseball. Really good football programs, really big, rowdy fan bases, but everybody's got that. So what do they add? North Carolina, NC State adds a new market, a new state. Virginia adds a new market, a new state. Yeah, but this is the right answer, though. Nobody's joining the league until Disney comes up with more money. That's exactly right. And yeah, State does have Oklahoma ties as well. The Lebby thing was weird at Oklahoma a couple of times, you know, with Art Briles being on the sidelines and stuff like that. But he did a great job there. I mean, had really good offenses for sure. Finally caught me live. Glad you're here, man. Really hate Oklahoma not being a night game. I hate it too. It doesn't make any sense. You're getting A&M from this year vibes when you see Oklahoma being a day game. And it's just a good roster. I mean, it is a good roster. I know they lost Dylan Gabriel. They lost some pieces. But, man, look at how they've recruited. It's a good roster. It'll be a good team that'll come into Oxford that day. And luckily for Ole Miss, they get the schedule break to have the off week after LSU to kind of recover from that. That'll be a really, really emotional game. With Ole Miss LSU in Tiger Stadium at night. They'll be Ole Miss will be undefeated. I think LSU is going to have a loss playing that game personally, but still, massive game, and Ole Miss gets to breathe. They get that time off before they have to come back to play that game with Oklahoma. Oklahoma, for what it's worth, playing South Carolina the week before they go to Oxford. So that is a schedule break for Ole Miss. 2:30 is a great kickoff time once mid-October arrives. I agree. The nice, cool breeze that comes in as the sun's setting. Yeah. Big brands bring big money. It's almost an arms race, snatching up all the brands possible. And I promise you the Big Ten desperately wants North Carolina. If they can get more money, it's the same thing there too. If they can get more money, North Carolina is where they'll go first. Clemson brings amazing transfer portal skills to the SEC, don't they? Dabo's going down with that ship, isn't he? It's crazy to me that the Southeastern Conference has never had a school from the states, North Carolina or Virginia. The fact that they didn't have a school from Texas until 2011 was crazy. You're not kidding. That in the next round of realignment, that will get fixed, though. What if they just went full-on troll and got Tulane and Georgia Tech back in the league? Could you imagine what Tulane would be had they stayed in the SEC? You would argue that North Carolina, Virginia are southeastern in location only. Neither feels very southern to me. The campuses and game day environment feel very SEC. They're not as like nasty or intimidating, but North Carolina very much fits into the aesthetic of the SEC. For sure. NC State does as well. I know Raleigh's it's a big place. It's growing. But those fans, those people there would fit very nicely in with the SEC. I think that they both fit the aesthetic of it. But anyway. The advantage the Big Ten has in terms of money is 75 TV partners versus the one that the SEC has. True. True. The SEC does, though, get the chance to be more uniform under the same umbrella, which allows them to be more flexible. They can use ABC a lot more. If Dabo wins seven games this year, what happens? Will he change or be fired? I guess they consider firing him, but he's owed. His buyout's not as big as his full contract. So his full contract's like $100 million. I think his buyout's going to be under 60 after this year. So maybe they go for it. You're glad Brent Venables doesn't have the no transfer rule? You should be. He's going to go down with that ship. What about Kansas in the SEC? I've seen people suggest that. I don't hate it. I mean, they're investing in football, tearing down their stadium and rebuilding from the ground up. It's going to look nice. They bring a lot in basketball, obviously. I would rather go up the East Coast than to Kentucky, but anyway. I got to run, guys. Thank you so much, as always. This was fun in the middle of the summer when literally nothing is going on. I have no idea what we're going to talk about on Thursday, but I will figure it out between now and then. So thank you, guys. I appreciate you. Don't forget to like the video and all that stuff. Check out the Gregory Law Firm for all of your personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. DJ Gregory, 662-397-9799. I'll see you guys on Thursday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.